With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 448th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. I don't know why 450 seems big, but it's a
50.
Yeah, it's a 50.
Things that end in zero, especially five zeros, are important.
Five zeros? Oh, 50. 50.
50.
Like, as 50. Old as Greg is right now.
Yes.
It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ. Greg here, the fivest of zeros.
I am the fivest of zeros, I guess. If, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 50? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. It's a compliment.
You'd better be. It's going into lawsuits, not.
I mean, I just found out what 6 means in Ren and 6, which probably both of you have no idea what that is, but
what?
I was so disappointed.
What? What in 6?
It's a character from Magic. Ren in 6.
Will also here.
I, number one, will take all of your I guess you're supposed to get me presents because in the lunar zodiac, it is now Year of the Ox and I am an ox. For the rest of the year, you have to give me gifts because my cycle has returned. I decided to party hardcore for our nice Lunar New Year celebration, and given that I do not tolerate the key ingredient, I have been suffering for the past 2 days. So painful. But I was like, I am going to have roast pork buns for Lunar New Year. I don't care the consequences. That was me on Friday night. And there's an Asian market like 3 miles from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Saturday and Sunday, I've been like,
I mean, the
Happy New Year.
The things we do for love.
Sure.
We have a lot to cover this week. This upcoming weekend, this podcast comes out on Monday. This upcoming weekend is the Kanto... What is the name of this thing? Kanto Fest? Kanto Celebration?
Kanto Happy Hat.
Pokemon
times.
Go Tour Kanto. Really hitting it out of the park with these names.
Haven't we been counting down to this for like 5 weeks now?
It's been like four months.
It's been forever.
I've
been counting down since, I don't know, 1998.
I couldn't find the exact date of when they initially announced this, but it was the end of December, beginning of January.
Isn't it in their giant list of updates?
Have you looked at that giant list of updates?
I mean, December 1, celebrate the arrival of Pokemon originally discovered in Kalos with a special event. Like, I can find a lot of things in here. Are we just looking for the first time they said, hey, we're doing a Kanto thing?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out the first time they said it. I figured out the first time they said, like, the countdown, which was Unova week. Because they started with Unova and then Sinnoh, and we know the rest. So that's coming this weekend. We're going to talk about that later in the show. And then the following weekend, which is February... Where's my calendar? February 27th, which is a Saturday, is Pokemon Day. Though I would expect some announcements Friday evening if those announcements are Japanese related. So, for example, if we want to look at any kind of patterns, normally a Pokemon movie for Japan is announced that day, but not announced for us because they normally get their movies in June. We get our movies in
whenever.
But
later in the year.
But because of COVID, I'm sure that might throw things off. So who knows if they're going to announce a movie. We still don't even know when the Zarude movie is coming for us. Although I do expect the old Netflix release date next week. So this is weird because we're going to be recording before the Kanto tour We're going to be recording Thursday, so I can get it edited because I'll be on the road Friday and Sunday and then playing all day on Saturday with Greg and Will. Very excited. So we won't have our thoughts for the Kanto tour on the episode that comes out on the 22nd next week. We'll save our thoughts for the... I don't think there's going to be like a lot of thoughts. There'll probably be some ups and some downs and, you know, 20-minute conversation and we'll move on. But
you don't know what stories we're going to generate when the three of us are together in one location.
Look, I am going to find that Dora the Explorer Pokestop and I'm going to stock up on...
It's closed, dude.
I can reach it. I don't have to be next to it to spin the stop. I need to stock up on those gifts so I can send people Dora the Explorer and Swiper. And maybe SpongeBob. They still have SpongeBob, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to stock up on all the Nickelodeon. Okay.
And the Lego Dragon, which is also
Lego Dragon is also good. Okay, so here's the plan. We're going to talk about some TCG stuff. We're going to talk about some Pokemon Go stuff. And then we have a bunch of other stuff to talk about. That's going to be the episode. A lot to work through here. Let's start off with an article from Polygon titled, "The Pokemon Happy Meals are at McDonald's are getting ruined by greedy adults."
Like you. Admit it.
Ruined?
Admit it. It's you. Yeah. You're the culprit. You're the villain.
No, because I
only... I've seen the photos.
I did buy Pokemon cards, yeah. This is like a tough full disclosure here. I did buy some Happy Meals.
Some?
Did you buy Happy Meals or did you buy the packs of cards without the meal?
Okay. What do you want? You want my story first or you want this article? We should probably read the article first to frame what's happening.
Yeah, okay, go for it.
Select McDonald's are celebrating the 25th anniversary of Pokemon with a promotion that turns the iconic Happy Meal box into a Pikachu face. Bundled with the Pikachu face container, there are 50 collectible cards. 25 are hollow, 25 are not. It doesn't say this in the article. I'm filling in the blanks here for the author. Pokemon cards are a hot commodity. That's true. That fans are having a hard time finding booster packs at big retailers. Also true. Nearly every week, there's a new broken record for the dollars that people are spending for old school packs. Also true. McDonald's promotion, in other words, never stood a chance. We said this on this podcast.
Yes.
Folks are waking up early to stake out McDonald's that are selling Happy Meals. Some are apparently buying Happy Meals in mass numbers in hopes of getting the collectibles and throwing out the food. I'm sure that's happening. I haven't seen that happen, but I'm sure that is happening.
Oh, I guarantee it's happening.
Some McDonald's are even placing restrictions on buying Happy Meals. Scalpers are reportedly already turning around and selling individual cards at a markup. Oh, gosh, there's a lot to talk about here. If you don't like Pokemon TCG cards, it's just the interesting dynamic of, like, what is actually happening here. Some customers are going around to multiple restaurants. That was me. unable to find a Happy Meal. Also me. On websites like eBay, entire boxes of cards are being sealed and going for hundreds of dollars. I literally spent 3 hours on my Twitch stream looking at eBay prices for this stuff the day this happened. It was very interesting. We reached out to a comment to McDonald's, and McDonald's told Polygon the following, quote, "With significant demand for our promotional Pokemon TCG and some fans even going to extreme lengths to get them, we are working quickly to address the shortage and also strongly encouraging restaurants to set a reasonable limit on Happy Meals sold per customer. We want to offer the full Happy Meal experience to as many families as possible to ensure everyone is able to get in on the fun." I do like the wording they have here. Where do we start?
Well, I will say since I didn't jump in when we were talking about wasting food, the one person I saw on my Facebook who did get 15 Happy Meals at one location got all nugget meals because then they could redo like the nuggets in their air fryer rather than throwing them away. So it wasn't wasteful.
Oh,
but what about the fries?
You eat those fries as fast as possible.
I was just going to say, are you sitting on fries? No. Let's go right down the gullet.
15 bags of fries.
Kid size. They're small.
Yeah, they're kid size. So I went to 10 different McDonald's the day it came out. I went with my friend Tim. He drove because, look, my friend Tim has a Tesla. He looks for any reason in the world to drive around.
Knowing Tim, this is no surprise whatsoever.
So I called him up.
I will buy that 100%, yes.
I called them up. I said, hey, I want to go to McDonald's. I want to film it for YouTube. And I just think it would be fun to see, like, because we know that every McDonald's is different. Every McDonald's has their own rules, their own restrictions. See if we can get... My goal was to get, like, 15 packs of cards. And I figured if I got 15 packs, I'd at least complete the 25 collection. I wouldn't get all the holos, but I'd at least be close. And then the last like couple holos I'm missing, I'll just buy them off TCG Player for however much they're going for. And I don't think 15 packs of cards is unreasonable. I don't want to spoil the video. That'll come out this coming Friday, which is the 19th. But every McDonald's had different rules. Like the first McDonald's we went to, they were like, we can't sell you the packs. We know that, like, okay, so let me back up. Every McDonald's knew about Pokemon. They like knew before we got, like, they
were warned that they were coming.
Well ahead of time. I'm sure plenty of people already arrived before us trying to look for these cards. Anyways, the first McDonald's said this. They said, you can buy as many Happy Meals as you want, and we will sell you 2 extra packs of cards. But there was no limit on Happy Meals. And so I was like, okay, that McDonald's is really close to where this is. I didn't want any food to go to waste. And I did want, like, my thought process at this very first McDonald's was like, I don't know if other McDonald's are going to have these. I'll take 5 Happy Meals. I'm going to eat one. Tim's going to eat one. And then there's 2 homeless people over. Well, spoiler, Tim didn't eat any. There's 2 homeless people over, like, 2 blocks away that are always on this corner. And we're going to drop the Happy Meals off over there. And then that way I got 7 packs from that very first McDonald's. I bought 5. Sold me 2 extra. The second McDonald's was like, we're only selling with Happy Meals. And I was like, okay, no thanks. I already got rid of the food. Don't need any more food. Don't need it. I cannot possibly eat any more fries right now. The third McDonald's was the same. Like, you had to buy Happy Meals. Okay. Next McDonald's was, you can buy 1 pack of cards. If you want more, you got to buy the Happy Meal, but we'll sell you 1 pack of cards. Cool. I'll take the 1 pack of cards. Third McDonald's was like, we don't even have any cards anymore. Or fourth McDonald's was like, we don't even have cards. So the point I'm saying is every McDonald's was different, which I show in the video. Maybe because I am an adult buying cards, yeah. I agree with, like, McDonald's is getting ruined by greedy. Unless they're specifically talking about scalpers, yes. But there's like this thing going around on social media where, like, other people think they're better than other people for not buying Happy Meals. Like, this is not, look, I've purchased my gold in my closet sitting next to my ancient Mew, my gold Burger King Pokemon cards when I was a kid. I have purchased my, like, every other Happy Meal. I've been doing this for 25 years. There's not all of a sudden, like, I hit a certain age where I'm not allowed to participate in cards.
Well, no, it's not restricted to Pokemon. But here's the real thing, right? You're looking at it from the perspective of, they're shaming me because I'm too old to be buying Happy Meals, right? This the real ruse here, and it's the real twisting of the facts, is they're putting into the general imagination that there are thousands of crying children in the world because those children couldn't get the Pokemon Happy Meal that they so desperately needed the minute they woke up. Well, number one, you told your kid that there was a Pokemon Happy Meal, if that's truly the case, where you could have not commercialized your child. And number two, come on. Kids aren't that, like, infatuated. Yes, kids love Pokemon, but they're not like, oh, if I don't get that Pokemon Happy Meal, my life is going to be ruined for the next, you know, 50 years.
Kids are like that. I mean, kids will say that, like, we as adults know that's not true. But in the moment, with that screeching toddler who isn't getting what they want, that is a real situation. Like, they had that expectation. They aren't getting it. We know they will forget in a week. Yes. But you are still dealing with that child. And I think it's not so much, if it wasn't for the I'm buying a giant pack and putting it up on eBay, if it wasn't for the scalping, if it wasn't for people going and saying, I've just purchased all of this McDonald's Happy Meal stock and they are out because I decided to buy them all. I think that's where we start treading on the, okay, what are you going for and why are you buying so many? Because if it's for collection, you, like, you know as well as everybody else that they will go up for sale later. Is the idea that you want to cash in quick right now by making it a scarce commodity and then flipping it around? I think that is sort of the part where adults with a lot of money are creating a market that we know isn't real.
Yeah.
Right. And
that's a problem.
I get it from both sides, right? I am not going to shame somebody who's been collecting Pokemon cards for 20 plus years to be like, oh, you can't possibly buy a Happy Meal. What's wrong with you? It's the same food. It's a cheeseburger and fries.
Food.
It's no different than ordering a cheeseburger and fries. The only difference is you're paying a premium for them to put a toy in it. And that toy is Pokemon cards. They're not unique to the things that are on Target. They're literally reprinted of the same cards. So, like, one, this is what they've stated. This is what they state for literally every Happy Meal. Not every McDonald's gets the same amount. Depends on how much you sell, where your McDonald's is located. But I do understand if you live in, like, I wasn't going to say Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Sheboygan's kind of big. If you live in, like, Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, and they got one McDonald's, and some scalper goes and they buy out all the Happy Meals, yes, that does suck for that specific town because they only have one McDonald's. I get it. That is not restricted to Pokemon stuff. That is whatever is in demand. Like, McDonald's has had Beanie Babies. Same thing happened.
Mm-hmm. And the same complaints happened then.
Yep, same complaints happened then. I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We have probably 40 McDonald's. I at one point had a map going to all 40. It would have taken 6 hours to drive.
Well, wouldn't you have to recharge the Tesla?
Yeah. See, we couldn't. We could only go to 10 on the Tesla battery.
Get wrecked, Tesla.
Okay. The other problem that the other thing that I saw, which again is just not maybe understanding the situation, is like people yelling at McDonald's of like, Why would you release these cards now when they were bound to fail? There is no way that a billion-dollar company like Pokemon and another billion-dollar company like McDonald's decided this promotion 2 weeks ago.
Oh, absolutely. The cards had to be designed.
Pikachu on the card is unique. I would safely assume that this promotion was probably designed before Vivid Voltage came out, which was like, Vivid Voltage was like four months ago, I think. And when Vivid Voltage came out, you could still buy Vivid Voltage. For like the first two weeks Vivid Voltage debuted, you could walk into a Target, you could buy packs, you could go on Cool Stuff Inc. or Troll and Toad, and you could get a booster box for $99. And it was about 2 to 3 weeks after Vivid Voltage came out, which is when the Logan Paul $20,000 Charizard box and then the supply and demand and people ran out and all Pokemon cards are sold out. If you're one of the few people posting on social media very upset that this is like McDonald's fault, no, it's just timing. Like, it wasn't even Vivid Voltage's fault because, again, when Vivid Voltage came out, you could just get it. It was very easy to get. Now it's very hard to get. They didn't print enough Vivid Voltage. They definitely printed enough of XY Evolutions because XY Evolutions finally sold out after 5 years of existing. They finally sold out because of this TCG craze. If, for whatever reason, the pandemic didn't happen and people weren't sitting at home with extra money... Because this is something I've explained in my Twitch stream. The TCG fad will crash once the pandemic is over because what happens is people will move their money elsewhere. If I have extra money because I'm not going to baseball games, I'm not going to concerts, I'm not traveling the world, I'm not taking a trip to Puerto Rico, I'm not going to fancy restaurants to dine in because a lot of them are closed or a lot of them are only limited demand, so it makes it really hard to book. I'm not going to spas. I'm not going rock climbing. I'm not going to the gym. People have extra money because they can't do anything else with their money. So they buy dumb Pokemon cards because that's the one thing they can do right now. But like, again, once the pandemic is over, am I going to continue spending $200 on Pokemon cards or am I going to spend the $200 and take a trip down to Disneyland? That's not, Disneyland's not $200. That was a bad example.
You're not getting $200 at Disney World.
But
that's for sure.
The point still stands.
Take $200, go to the Dells. There you go.
Yeah.
That's a nice day at the Dells.
This is also not the first time we've ever had Pokemon cards at McDonald's. This is like the 100th time we've had Pokemon cards at McDonald's.
Very true.
And I will say, name a single McDonald's Pokemon card. Somebody's going to be like, well, this Japanese McDonald's. No, okay. Yes, sure. One Japanese McDonald's Pokemon card probably worth like $80. But name one English Pokemon card at McDonald's that is worth money today. None of them are. Maybe like $6 for like some like Squirtle or Pikachu or whatever. None of them are worth money. Let me bring up the ancient Mew card that everyone thought was going to be worth money. It's also worth about $6. Hey, how about the Entei promotion for the third Entei movie? Not worth anything. The Zapdos Moltres Articuno for Pokemon the Movie 2000, The Power of Us, where the bad guy's name is Sir Lawrence III. No one ever remembers that. But those cards...
I remember that every time!
They're worth nothing. Some cards... There are exceptions. There are some weird Pokemon cards, like the Delivery Pikachu right now from the Pokemon Center promotion. It's like worth $200. There are some cards that break some weird barrier, and they're worth something. But it does suck, although it's not unexpected that scalpers went to McDonald's, they bought 150 packs, they bought 100 packs, they bought 500 packs, and then they immediately put them on eBay. I am not going to grill somebody who is 25 years old, who has been collecting Pokemon cards for 10 years, that wants to buy like 10 packs from McDonald's. You're fine. Don't feel bad about it. They're just cards. And guess what? If McDonald's ran out of Happy Meal cards, they got other Happy Meals to do. Like, they will never not have Happy Meals. They have old Happy Meals. But that I can't imagine that situation is so unique to right now. Because, again, not every McDonald's gets the same supply of toys. Not every McDonald's gets the same supply of... not every McDonald's has the same restrictions. There is probably, like, a McDonald's that was told, hey, limit these, but they didn't care. Somebody probably pulled up in the Chevy Blazer and bought their entire stock, and the franchise owner of that McDonald's just simply didn't care. Is that the scalper's fault? Yes, but that's also the dude at McDonald's fault for selling all 150.
The person at the window, that I wouldn't blame it on the owner, right? It's the person at the window who was like, oh, I didn't realize we weren't supposed to sell all of them all at once. But I did want to say two things for people who might be confused as to, like, why doesn't McDonald's just make a rule that says one per customer or something like that? McDonald's is a real estate company. They're not a restaurant company. They sell real estate to franchisees who then are allowed to operate a McDonald's restaurant on that real estate. So they in general, don't make rules about how each individual restaurant runs. That's up to the franchisee to determine for their own market. The other thing is, and Greg, this is kind of a realization that I've had, I think the big thing is that this is a pure like conflagration of the Zoomer world. You've got the boomers out there who think that they're going to find like baseball cards in the old days where there's like, oh, I'm going to find this one super rare baseball card that's going to make me rich, blah, blah, like that mentality that they've seeded into the world. And then you've got all the millennials out there who are like, well, I just got to find the next scam to make enough money because yep. I'm not getting paid enough anyways. So like all scams are now perfectly legal. And it's like we're Gen X, we're caught in the middle and we're like, eh, whatever.
Whatever.
Y'all do what you got to do.
Yeah, whatever, kids. Have fun. What was the point?
Again, none of these cards are actually worth money. This is the This is the actual shocking thing. So on Tuesday when the cards came out, the most I saw a Pikachu card sell for was $80. All the other cards, the Chimchar, Hollow Pikachu, sorry. The Chimchar, the Piplup, the Squirtle, the Charmander, the Froakie. The most I ever saw any of those sell for were like $4. I think maybe the Charmander was $6. The Froakie was like $2.50. And these are sold auctions. And somebody came into my Twitch stream and somebody said, somebody on eBay
can't listen to Twitch.
I disproved it really easily. Somebody came in and they were like, somebody on eBay bought all the Hollows, the complete collection for $9,000. No, they didn't. Yeah, they did. Look. The auction ended at $9,000. Sure, the auction ended at $9,000, but why would anyone pay that amount? The most a single Pikachu went for was $80. If you were to do $80 by 25, just assume that every single one of these cards was $80. Your math is $2,000. So why would anyone pay $7,000 extra dollars to get it? And they were like, but that's what it ended at. And I was like, okay, let me explain eBay to you. I'm very familiar with it. just like there
Welcome
are scalpers
eBay
on eBay, there are people on eBay that only bid on things to waste scalpers' time. So, for example, if there is a hot commodity on eBay, here's a really good example. This is actually the only example in this episode that I will probably get right that wasn't a Disney reference or a bad car reference. Is when Amiibo and when Nintendo Amiibos came out, they
that
also
scam.
Had the same problem we're talking right now. And because people were so frustrated about Amiibos being bought out at Target every single morning because the scalpers would wait outside Target at like 6 a.m., buy all the Amiibos, and then put them on eBay, is there was a group of people, and this has existed on eBay for a long time, and they will bid on the scalpers' items, and they will drive the prices up, and they will win the auction, and then they won't pay. And their only penalty from eBay is their account gets like banned for like 30 days. You know what you do? You just make another free eBay account. And you do it again. And you do that to the same... It's very easy to find scalpers because they use the same eBay username. And you can find all their auctions very easily. And then you just bid on all of them. And then when it ends in 24 hours or 5 days or whatever time they set it, which is usually like 5 days, right? An eBay auction's like 5 to 7 yeah. days. You win the bid. They wasted a week to hope that they get money at the end. They don't get the money. They then have to argue with eBay about how you didn't pay, but you don't care because you're just going to make another eBay account. And then they get eBay goes, okay, well, they didn't pay. You get to relist. And now they have to wait a whole nother week to sell these items again. And you know what happens? Those people do the same thing. And now it's 2 weeks. And a lot can change in 2 weeks, especially for a scalper, because they need to sell when those products are hot. Let me give you yep. another really good example. That Pikachu card that was $80 on Tuesday, it was $40 on Wednesday. Because these cards are not worth anything! They're only worth $80 is because like people are desperate for the Pikachu card, but the price keeps going down because no one actually cares about it doesn't matter. They're just cards in 6 weeks or 6 months or whenever this event is over. Like, look up the black and white Unova ones. They had a bunch of the same sparkly cards. None of them are worth more than $5. And there's like 10 of them.
It really says something, though, because this used to be an issue in Vanguard as well, because they always used to do the pre-releases 1 week before the actual set came out. And in that week, which I used to call Golden Hype Week, it was like cards were 10 times on TCG Player what... after the actual set came out, they would actually be. And it's just because people like had to have the card before anybody else. And
yes.
I'm like, you literally can't wait 1 week.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. It was just like the Shiny Charizard from Champion's Path. When it first came out, ungraded Charizard from Champion's Path was $1,200. And that was like the week before Champion's Path came out. And then Champion's Path came out, and within the like, first 2 weeks of Champion's Path coming out, that shiny Charizard, ungraded, was $800. And now, I looked it up before the episode, because we spent, like I said, I spent 3 hours on eBay the other day looking at these cards. Now, that same Charizard from Champion's Path, shiny Charizard, is $360 ungraded. Now, you could grade it to get more, but people want the newest, shiniest thing on day one. And then over time, people have a less desire to get it, and or the scalpers are just, not the scalpers in that case. You could easily just pull that Charizard on day one and be like, oh, well, if it's selling for $1,000, I don't care that much. I'd rather have the $1,000. I don't blame you. If you're one of the first people that pulled a shiny Charizard on Champion's Path, I would probably just get rid of it and then buy it back like 6 months later when it's drastically cheaper. But again, this whole situation is not exclusive to Pokemon cards. Like the Digimon card game just launched in America officially again because it launched back in the 90s.
It's a different one, different game.
But it just launched this week and it's completely sold out. It's impossible to get. The only thing I feel like that isn't sold out nowadays is Magic. But I'm sure people are desperate for cards. Maybe they'll move to Magic next.
Please, please.
Nah, no. Magic is really wild. Magic makes very little sense. But Magic cards, if you want to get into the craziness of Magic, you can buy $1,000 cards if you want. I think the moral of this story is scalpers are the worst, no matter what they're scalping.
True, true.
They are trying to manipulate things to make a quick buck for things that aren't worth that quick buck.
If you really want this Pikachu card, just wait. Like right now, I'm seeing this one going for $42 with $4 shipping. Ends in like 2 hours. It might go up a little bit, but...
Well, okay, so I will say this to anyone who's under the age of 25 right now. There was a point in my life where there were Transformers that I really, really wanted. And I was like, it breaks my heart that I can't have this Transformer. I didn't have the money, whatever. Guess what? I'm 47 years old. I don't even remember which Transformer it was. Mm-hmm. The feeling will pass.
Time erases everything, including
exactly.
Your memory.
Yes, gratefully. Thank goodness.
So out of all of this TCG stuff, the Pokemon Company put out an update on the support.pokemon.com. They say, we are aware that you are experiencing some difficulties purchasing certain Pokemon trading card game products due to very high demand and global shipping constraints impacting availability. We understand that this inconvenience can be disappointing for fans. We are working to address it with where it is within our control. In situations where limited availability, we are actively working to print more of the impacted TCG products as quickly as possible and at maximum capacity to support the increased demand. Reprinted products will be available at retailers as soon as possible. For the new Pokemon TCG expansions launching in the future, we are maximizing production to increase product availability upon release. We will continue to reprint products to replenish stock at retailers as soon as possible. We'd like to thank the community for their continued support and patience as we work to deliver more TCG products to fans. And this is a very common thing, right? Like when like Unbroken Bonds and Unified Minds came out, those did eventually sell out after like 6 months of being released, and they were kind of hard to find. Although if you walk into before all these cards sold out, which was around Christmas time, you could still find like Crimson Invasion. You could still find Fates Collide. You could still find XY Evolutions because they made too many of those sets because they thought they were going to sell well and they didn't. But then they made too few like Unified Minds, which did actually sell well. So now I expect what the problem is going to be. There's going to be a point in like the next 10 months where the only thing on shelves is going to be like Vivid Voltage and Darkness Ablaze because they're going to like reprint them
favorite.
All. No, Vivid Voltage is a good set right now. I don't know if it's going to be a good set in 10 months. They're going to probably reprint like a bunch of Darkness Ablaze and Vivid Voltage and probably Battle Styles. Battle Styles is probably going to be the new Crimson Invasion, which is to say like...
Yeah, I think Battle Styles is going to sell real well. Yeah.
But like Crimson Invasion was like the worst set ever. It was a bad set when it came out. Like there was no reason to get it unless like you wanted... Like the main card from that set was like a Buzzwell and like Beast Ring and... Neither like Beast Ring, I think, was uncommon, and Buzzwell was like rare, but it was like a $4 rare. But I don't particularly think there's like, and the problem with like not the problem, but the timing of Darkness Ablaze, which had a Charizard in it, and Champion's Path, which had two Charizards in it, and Vivid Voltage, which had Fat Pikachu in it. Those are all my grandma knows those Pokemon. Like, everyone knows those Pokemon. The chase card, the sought-after card in Battle Styles is Urshifu. And Urshifu very new. So I don't know if that's going to be... There's no Charizard in that set. There's no Pikachu in that set. Like, I don't know if not having Gen 1 nostalgia... And I get it. There's somebody like, I hate that Gen 1 nostalgia. Yeah, okay, but guess what? It sells. Case in point.
Yeah, it certainly does.
But I don't think Battle Styles has anything like very shiny that is just as recognizable as a fat Pikachu on a card. Like, it's a, say what you will about Pikachu, it's a very recognizable Pokemon. And I love Urshifu. I think Urshifu's cool. He's a cool dude.
Wait a minute. Which one?
Both Urshifus are in the set.
No, no, no. Which one do you think is a cool dude? Because they can't both be.
Oh, the water one.
Oh,
the water
on.
One?
Yeah, water fighting.
Water has never been cool,
that's,
dude.
Water fighting is just Poliwrath.
You're not wrong. That's the TCG talk. There's a lot. Let's take a break, and then let's argue some more about the Kanto Fest celebration.
Okay.
I just woke up. It's 3 p.m.
We are back. Before we get to the Pokemon Go stuff, there is a shiny Toxtricity being given out using Pokemon Pass at GameStop. That's it?
That's a thing?
Again, I think this is probably planned 6 months ago, hoping the pandemic maybe would be over.
Yeah.
Is there something... I just don't understand why it's Pokemon... I do understand why it's Pokemon Pass, because they have to scan a QR code and you have to be within the vicinity of the location. It uses your GPS, right? You can't scan the QR code at home. You have to go to the GameStop or go at least outside the GameStop so you can do it from your car. So this is your COVID solution. I'm going to give you the hot tip here. You go with a friend. Or your significant other, or your family.
What a perfect Valentine's date.
Well, no, because you can't do this until the 19th.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Take that back.
You have them, you have your significant other, friend, etc., pull up the QR code on their phone while you're in the parking lot of GameStop in your car, safe and sound. You use your phone, you scan their phone for the QR code, and then you switch. You pull up the QR code.
So you can't. You can't do this without another person?
There might be. Actually, you know, there was a point. I want to say it was the Target one because I couldn't find the QR code. And I think if you like, there was a button in the app.
Yeah, there was a there's always been like, if you can't find the code somewhere in the store because they probably didn't put it up, hit this button.
Well, yeah. I thought the Target ones, you had to be like on the Target Wi-Fi.
I don't
or something.
Think so.
I just remember I went to a Target in D.C. and they did not have it. They didn't have it at all.
That sounds about right. But I have, for all of these codes, I do not ever remember scanning a QR code. Like the whole QR code people are talking about, I'm like, what?
What's I have seen, I have scanned some QR codes.
I don't remember doing this.
No, me either.
You don't remember collecting the stickers for the Detective Pikachu movie by scanning QR codes scattered around Target? Wasn't that fun?
No. No, I did not do that.
I remember finding the stickers. I do remember doing that once at the Target downtown.
Pokemon Home, this is the thought process. Pokemon Home, if you click the hamburger menu, you click mystery gifts, you click local event check, your GPS is being initialized. Does this feature just not work? Have they not figured out how to make it
not
work?
Not yet. Not yet.
It's been a whole year.
They're clearing out all the Pokemon Pass agreements before they switch over.
Yeah, it was. You know, that could be true. They could have done like a five. We're doing five distributions with GameStop. We haven't hit our quota yet. I guess now we do the Toxtricity quota.
I'm curious, and we'll have to put this on the list of things to test next weekend, is the GameStop in the Mall of America is not your traditional GameStop strip mall GameStop. It is
correct.
A GameStop pop culture.
Yeah.
I'm curious whether they will have this distribution.
I'm sure they will. I don't know. Speaking of Pokemon Home, there was a Pokemon Home update. Happy 1 year of Pokemon Home, Greg and Will.
Happy 1 year.
They got my money.
Again.
I sat there and I was like, the week leading up, because I got the warning, hey, we're going to charge you money. And I'm like, am I going to pay another $16 for nothing? And the answer was yes, because I decided, I guess I'm paying $16 for nothing. Because I really didn't want to try to go through the pain of figuring out where I wanted to put things.
How many Pokemon do you have at home?
I don't know, like 2,000.
Okay. That is a lot.
Only 2,000?
Yeah, I've been really, really, really lazy about moving my bank stuff up. And I've been using it as a, oh, hey, you're out of space in Pokemon Go. And then I'll just fire it up and send a bunch of things in.
Ooh, I never think to do that because I didn't have Pokemon Home installed on my new phone.
Ah.
Mm. They did put out a update that I think for the most part people were excited about. Came out of nowhere.
Excited?
You know.
like, was Twitter a buzz about a Pokemon Home update? Apart from yours?
It's possible.
No!
This is it's a 263 megabyte update. It's version 1.3.2. I will state, in the 8 years Pokemon Bank existed, it was an 8 years old. It only had 4 updates. Pokemon Home has had over 10 updates in the 1 year it's been out, so that's good, I guess.
Almost $2 an update.
Yeah. Okay, so what they said here in the update is you can receive all Pokemon, a feature that has been added to Wonder Box. That's nice. People were excited about that one. The date a Pokemon was
I'm still calling foul on you're excited.
The date a Pokemon was first met is now displayed in trainer notes. That's good.
Hey, so nice.
That's good.
From the OT, which is short for original trainer, field in a Pokemon's detailed information, you can now search for Pokemon with the same original trainer. That seems like a good one. You can now specify language, and you can search by Pokeball when searching for a Pokemon. That one, very good. I can now search for all my Love Ball Pokemon, for example.
I mean, I put everything in Luxury Balls. It's Luxury Balls or Cherish Balls. Like, I don't have any choice over the Cherish Balls.
You can now arrange your list of Pokemon in the same order used by your Pokemon boxes in the Nintendo Switch version of Pokemon Home. Greg, they listened to you.
It only took a year.
It took a full year.
Thanks, Pokemon Home, for doing the thing you should have done.
They
at the
really
start.
Wanted your $16 again.
They did. This is ultimately my decision to... Knowing that they'll listen to me once a year, I said, yeah, I'll give you $16.
Yeah. It's only common courtesy.
It is.
You know what they didn't update? The Switch version. You know what I still can't see on the Switch version? My ribbons and my marks. I don't understand. I just don't. It's been a year of Pokemon Home. Maybe it is. Maybe in like 2 more years. It is so hard to recommend this $16 product. When it's so bad. Mm-hmm. And it's not even, like, bad. It's just inconveniently bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
The best kind of bad.
Yeah.
It works. It does what it's advertised to do. No one is debating that. It accepts your Pokemon. It organizes your Pokemon. You can put them into specific boxes. You can search for them. You can mass transfer. It, like does what it's advertised to do. But how... Is there one person, like, all it takes is one person who works at Game Freak who was like, why, when we switched to Pokemon Home, are all the buttons flipped around? Why is the, like, LNR suddenly different? And why is the...
Nobody cares about the button. You're the only one who cares about the buttons because you don't pay attention to what's going on the screen.
No, it's so jarring. It is...
I have never been jarred. Not once. I'm unjarred.
I'm always unjarred.
I know, you are. Here's the thing. Since they listened to me this year, next year to get the $16, they will listen to you and make that one change.
So I have to single delete my... So I do a lot of mark hunting. I think this is very well known. I like to catch every Pokemon I see. I like to see if it has a mark. And if it doesn't have a mark, I throw it away. And if it does have a mark, I put it in a box where it lives for about 2 months. And then 2 months later, I go, ah, dang it, I got too many of these marks. Now I got to throw some away because I got a lot of sleepy marks over here. This is the life I live. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm. How do you afford all these Pokeballs?
Black market.
Wow.
Yep.
The actual travesty is the amount of people who are watching my stream going, Steve, why don't you move them to Pokemon Home so you can mass transfer them? I can't do that. Do you know why? Because I can't see marks in Pokemon Home. I can't see ribbons. I can't see anything. It's like this feature that has existed since, I don't know, Gen 3, and it doesn't work in the Switch version of the app. I don't understand.
The sad thing is just because you're the only person that actually cares about this stuff.
But transfer it to Pokemon Home, then pull up your phone, pull it up on your phone, because you're already playing the other game on your Switch. So you don't have to leave Sword and Shield. You just have it on your phone. Easy. Situation solved. I'm a problem solver. You just need to agree with me.
I agree.
I am glad that Pokemon Home got an update. It is, hopefully there are more updates. I would hope. I guess we're getting the we gotta talk about the Pikachu. Man, this news is going right into this news. They announced a Pikachu with the exclusive move Sing. So this is off 25.pokemon.com. It is a, you need a password through Mystery Gift. Pikachu will know the move Sing. It'll be in a Cherish Ball. OT will be Game Freak. It will have the Souvenir Ribbon. It will know Sing, Encore, Celebrate, Electro Ball. On the website, it says, come back on February 25th for a password you can use to add this Pokemon to your team. I was going to say, is this another email thing?
Some places say it's coming in email and on the website, so it might be both. I'm hoping they're doing both because of the fiasco with the last password. So I'm hoping it is one universal password just putting on here and being done with it, because that's the way it should have happened for everything, because there are still millions of starving children who never got the Zarude code.
Yeah, you guys all complained about McDonald's cards. What happened to those poor kids that signed up with their parents' email to get a Zarude?
I'm probably the last person to get a Zarude, and thanks to Tomahawk is the only name that I have for them. Who got me an extra Zarude code?
But I would assume that we would get a Pokemon. Like, don't they want to reward the people paying $16 a month with a Pokemon? I guess you don't have to pay $16. You just have to have the app free.
Yeah. Is Sing Pikachu the new meta?
I hope so.
I think so.
You Gigantamax it?
Yeah.
You Sing. 55% accuracy. We'll never see it coming.
But what does it turn into? Does it just turn into Shield?
Yeah, Sing would be Max Guard.
Boo. What does Sing do? Does it cause damage?
No, it puts him to sleep.
No, puts him to sleep.
Nah.
With not a good rate.
Yeah, it's 50. Yeah, the Spore is 100. Sleep Powder, I think, is 60?
75.
75? 70?
I think so.
And then Sing is the worst of the sleeping moves. It is 50. The only thing that Sing is... No, because I was going to say Sing is good on Milotic, but I think Milotic learns Hypnosis, but like... Milotic also learns Coil, and Coil increases your like defense and your accuracy, I think. So that's why Milotic runs Hypnosis, because the accuracy boost of Coil.
Yeah, Sleep Powder is 75. I knew that. Because I use it on Roselia all the time. Sing is 55%.
It's bad.
It's bad.
This news is off Go Nintendo. Original Stitch reveals more Pokemon shirts. They have revealed a Grookey, Scorbunny, and Sobble shirt. If you're itching for some clothing, the Scorbunny one.
Just waiting for my Hoenn stuff.
Did you notice that they skipped over Hoenn and went straight to Galar?
I'm not. No, they're not still buying. There's only three.
You can go to originalstitch.com and you can look at all the Hoenn designs so far. They haven't like released Hoenn. They're just still showing off. They're still showing off Gen 3 stuff without being able to buy them right now. But my code still works, so if you're interested in the original Stitch stuff, you can use PKMNcast at checkout, and you get free shipping. Oh, I didn't know original Stitch was doing Star Wars stuff now, too.
Yeah, I don't like the patterns.
Yeah, the masks are still Gen 1 only. I'm assuming they're going to like officially announce / mass roll out the Gen 3 shirts on Pokemon Day.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'd imagine, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the Pokemon Go Tour Kanto Celebration. I hate this name. It'll take place on Saturday, February 21st from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Okay, so I think the details here is the Mew, which is what people cared about since they announced this, which we looked up the original announcement date. I believe it was December 8th. Is what I have, what Greg found.
It sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
So at the time, they were like, hey, there's going to be a Kanto tour. It'll be $12. Shiny Mew. You'll get to pick between red and green. More details will come later. I don't even think you could buy the ticket right away. I think you could buy the ticket like 2 months later.
Yeah.
Not 2 months. Sorry, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
February 8th, is when they announced pretty much all the details.
Yes.
February 9th, sorry. So about a week ago, they announced what is called the Masterwork Research, which is the Mew stuff. So prior to this, I'm bringing up my Twitch stream a lot, but it's a real good feel of how many people were confused about this, I think, at least for me. Leading up to this event, there was a lot of people that would say like something along the lines of, I don't know if I want to spend $12.99 and not get the shiny Mew.
Right.
Totally understandable.
That is a real concern, yes.
And when I talked to Niantic, they said the following. We can't talk about the details of the event just yet, but just to let you know, if you spend the $12.99, you will get the Mew eventually. Like, you can't not, like, you could spend the $12.99. You could pull a Will, buy the Pokemon Go Fest ticket, and then just never log in to accept the quest and not get
Look,
the Victini.
I was busy that day. I had things going on.
You were at a wedding.
I was in the wedding.
Yeah,
yes.
It was a busy day.
But I assured people if you spent the $12.99, you would definitely get the Mew. Don't know how hard it would be. But from Niantic's wording, the Mew quest was supposed to be something that you wouldn't be able to complete the day of anyways. It was going to be a long, I'm almost positive, and I don't have the article in front of me, but it was supposed to be a long and difficult thing to complete. It is a shiny Mew after all. So on February 9th, they announced the details of the Masterwork quest. They also announced how they were going to handle Ditto, which was a huge asterisk because people were like, how am I supposed to find Shiny Ditto? Shiny Ditto is the final reward for the Saturday event.
Ah.
So once you complete the Kanto Fest, Shiny Ditto will be the thing you end with. So you're getting a Shiny Ditto guaranteed for $12.99. And you're getting a Shiny Mew guaranteed for $12.99. The only difference is you got to work for the Mew. The event schedule is, it's 10 hours. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, ends at 9 o'clock. We'll just go through the schedule here. We'll get to how to get the Mew in a second. From 9 to 10 is Pallet Town. From 10 to 11 is Pewert City. From 11 to 12 is Cerulean. From 12 to 1 is Fuchsia. And then from 1 to 2, my favorite, the only four cities in Kanto. And then from...
yeah, just four.
1 to 2...
Get wrecked, Lavender Town.
...is the Pokemon League. And then it repeats. So 2 to 3 Pallet, 3 to 4 Pewert. Four to
Pewter.
Can you just say Pewter once, please?
No, funny. Never. Four to five Cerulean. Five to six. That's the worst color. Five to six to Fuchsia.
Silver.
Six to seven Pokemon League, and then at the very end, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. local time, all Pokemon.
That's when you go cram it all in from 7 to 9.
No, there's no Cramorant in this event.
Thank heavens.
So if you have a non-ticket experience, you will get some of the Pokemon discovered in the Kanto region in Wild and Raids. You will still be able to participate in Articuno, Zapdos, Moltres, and Mewtwo, which will be returning to Raids. All trainers will have event access to time-limited research, and the trade range will be increased to 40 kilometers. And then, again, this is for both ticketed and non-ticketed. Articuno will know Hurricane, Zapdos will know Thundershock, Moltres will know Sky Attack, Mewtwo will know Psystrike, sorry, no Shadow Ball.
Boo!
And then if you bought the tickets early, you got special research stories for January and February, which at the time were not announced, but they ended up being Roselia. What was the... Roselia was from February. What the heck was January?
Yeah. Machop.
Oh.
Manchomp.
Manchomp was January. No, that's our intellectual property. Don't confuse that with the Pokemon's intellectual property.
Boy, sorry. Greg and I certainly got a lot of shiny Roselias.
We did.
Some
God,
of us got more
great.
Shiny Roselias than other people.
Whatever, Will. I have secret back channels that are going to start feeding me shiny Roselias left and right. I have made deals across the globe to funnel your poor unwanted children to my caring arms.
The benefit of the true benefit of the day was I actually saw two other human beings in person.
Yeah.
Which I haven't done in such a long time.
Yes, that was the highlight of the day, truly, because it was cold.
Okay, so the Masterwork research can be completed whenever. You unlock it somewhere during the Saturday. It contains tasks that for getting the Kanto Platinum Medal. You have to catch 30 Pokemon of every single type. How many types are there? 18?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So 18 times 30. How many Pokemon is that? Too many?
Too many.
That's like 500 Pokemon.
Wait, 18? 540, yeah.
You have to spin 151 unique Pokestops. We're going to have to talk about that. You have to
what?
Walk 151 yeah. kilometers, which I believe is 91 miles, I think. And then you have to reach level 40. This is the big one that some people are upset about.
Okay.
So before, so the 151, look, again, we talk about this all the time. Pokemon Go is not a fair game. If you live in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, you might have like 10 Pokestops. That's not 151. It is cold. It is -1 in Wisconsin right now. Very hard to go outside. Unlike if you lived in California or Florida right now, it's probably 70. It's probably beautiful out. You could probably safely social distance at a park and have a great time. Well, maybe not California because that... Whew, California. But it is not fair in the sense of Pokemon Go is better in big cities. If I lived in Boston and I was downtown in Boston... I probably hit 151 stops in a whole day because literally every single brick in that city is a Pokestop. They're like, this brick has three words written on it. We can't read it because it's 100 years old, but it is now a Pokestop. That is Boston in a nutshell. I think there are probably 151 Pokestops in Milwaukee pretty easily, but it would require me to drive a lot and it's cold. I'll do it in like 3 months.
Oh, you'll get it done before 3 months are up.
So the level 40. Level 40 is not easy to get to. This game has been out for over 5 years. There are a lot of people that are not level 40. But in order to get the shiny Mew, you need the 151 stops, catch 30 of each type, which, again, that's going to be also hard if there's not a dragon-type event happening. Unless, I don't know, you live in some dragon biome and you're seeing Dratinis nonstop. I don't. I see like one dragon a week. You have to walk 151 kilometers. I don't know. Will, you walk a lot. What is how much you walk in a day?
I mean, for me, that's about 2 weeks. I usually get about 70 kilometers for like the, what is it, Adventure Sync? Mm-hmm. I usually get about 70 to 75 kilometers a week.
So 2 weeks for you for that?
Yeah.
I've only walked around my house, so it'll be 4 years.
Yeah, it'll be long for me.
Until things get warm again and I can walk my neighborhood. Or return to the skyways to walk around them. Yeah, it's going to take me a very long time.
So reaching level 40. So we had a viewer that came in Twitch chat, and they said that they were upset that their significant other was like level 32. They bought the Kanto Fest tickets back in January.
Well, it's your mistake starting out dating somebody who's not at least level 37. Now, come on, put that on your Match.com profile.
And that their significant other was bummed and frustrated that they had to be level 40. You know, after 4 years of the game, they're only level 32. And my response was, well, why'd you buy the ticket if you didn't know what the details were? And their response was, well, they should have told us early. And my response was, well, they did. The event is, they told us on the 9th, the event is on the 20th, so they gave you 11 days, a heads up. But yes, if you bought the ticket in January... You had no clue what it was supposed to be. We had no clue how to get the Mew.
Yep.
And then I have this whole...
Let me broken record for 1 second and say the same thing that I say every single time we hear one of these complaints. You bought the ticket for the experience of the Kanto day. You did not buy the ticket for the shiny Mew or the shiny Ditto. Sorry. It's the experience.
I will put an asterisk because they did say back on the 9th that you'll have special research, and then after completing that, you'll get another quest line that will go to Mew. So we knew there was going to be two things.
Yes.
We knew there'd be the special research.
The first thing wasn't going to be like... The big concern of this was people were like, I don't know if I can catch all 150 Pokemon in a day, and now I'm not going to get the Mew. It's clear that that's not it.
Right.
Collecting all 151 Pokemon is going to be the like bragging rights or whatever, right? Like, it's not the thing you actually have to do. Also, if
I mean,
you don't finish
have
it
8 days because they're no, keeping it, them around.
They okay. So the, here's the big thing that they like didn't actually say. But if you go to support.niantic.com, you do have to complete the Pokemon Go Kanto Tour Special Research to get the Masterwork Research. You do not have to finish it that day. You can finish it at any point in time to unlock the Masterwork research. So even if you started the Kanto research and then like 6 months later you finished it, you then unlock the Masterwork research. So this is what I was saying all along. You're not going to get the shiny Mew. You just have to do step one before step two. Now, that being said, it's just like the Celebi research, as in like you need to defeat Team Rocket to finish the Celebi research. If Team Rocket is not spawning, you can't do it, but that doesn't mean you cannot get the Celebi. You just have to wait till Team Rocket comes back. So if you don't finish the Kanto special research on Saturday, they are giving you a Kanto week after the event, and if you don't finish it then, you still can finish it later. It's just going to be harder because it's probably going to rely on Kanto spawns, which are not guaranteed all the time. This goes back to the original statement. If you are worried about spending $12 and not getting shiny Mew, you will get it. You just have the best, the fastest path to complete it on Saturday, and a semi-okay path to complete it the week after, and a, well, it's going to live forever in your special research category if you don't finish it after that. But you're not going to spend $12 and then they're going to lock you out. You're going to get the Mew eventually.
And I want to throw two things into the mix here. Number one, Greg and I are probably like the least amount of effort put towards playing Pokemon Go that you can honestly put towards it and say, I'm an active player. And we've both made it to level 40. I've been level 40 for, 2 years now? 2.5 years? And I honestly, the majority of my Pokemon Go playing time is in the morning sending gifts to people because I enjoy letting people know that I'm thinking about them. And I do, for every single person that gets a gift from me in Pokemon Go, I think about you a little bit as I send that gift. So keep that in mind, number one.
I think about you in as much as I know what your username is.
No.
Sometimes I look at the username and I go,
I mean, for the ones in Japan, I think like, oh, you know, I wonder what cool thing you're doing in Japan right now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who you are. But if I do know who you are, then I think like usually like a special memory. Like Ryan in England has a new daughter and I think about, she's so wonderful. And I think about her. And then there you go. Number two. Shiny Mew is about the rarest of the rare Pokemon that for all the shiny, they've made shiny, getting shiny so easy for every other Pokemon out there. Shiny Mew is the rarest of the rare Pokemon. I want to work for it. I want to earn it.
Yeah.
I want this to be an actual challenge. So I am all for it. Yes, this needs to be a real challenge. Thank you.
I mean, I get being disappointed, right? Like, it's going to take you longer. Having crammed getting to level 40 in a month from nearing the end of 38 and then all the way up to 40. It's not fun, but it's also, you know, it took me half an hour a day of doing it. I mean, I get being disappointed, but also they had said back in the 8th that there were going to be multiple steps to it. And then also that was during their big push for you to get to 40. I don't know that having the 40 be a requirement was that much of a surprise, because they really stressed all of November and December, hey, get to 40 by the end of the year and we'll give you special things, without saying, because you're going to need to be at level 40. Like, they were pretty obvious about, they felt getting to level 40 was important by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main reasons why I did it, because I'm like, okay, there is something coming that is hinged on being level 40. Because they have never really pushed that level.
True. Very true.
Until the end of last year.
Yeah, I didn't talk about that last night, but I think that's a super good point. Like, this game has existed for, we say 5 years, it'll be 5 years in July. There has been never a reason to get to 40. And they did make a big deal about it in December of like, hey, you want to get to level 40. Not specifically because like there's anything that happens when you get to level 50, but if you're going to have a game that has levels, and the levels should, like, but if no one cares about getting to the levels, then why have the levels?
Yeah.
like levels should be there to push you to do something, right? The game should always games should give you a carrot on a stick to complete something, and that now they have something that I feel personally is worthy of getting to 40.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I get it. Like, being disappointed because you're not there yet and it's going to take you longer, that is a very valid feeling, right? Like, you can feel disappointed about a lot of things, and that's not to say that that's not valid, but they aren't going to give everything away at the start. And there does have to be some level of holding out to see, is this event going to be really worth it? Because we talked about it, like, I was not sure that when this was first announced that I wanted to pay this money for what they announced this event to be. Like, even with the shiny Mew at the end, the main draw was because we had sort of agreed, we're just going to do it, and I'm paying for that day. But I was very hesitant about buying
that
ticket.
For the experience, yes.
For that very reason, because I just didn't know what was coming. And I don't think that's necessarily the fault of a company that wants to build excitement. Your disappointment, I think, people's disappointment that this is indeed what you have to do, and it does feel like a lot, and you may live in an area where you can't hit 151 stops. Like, there's a lot of reasons to be disappointed in that thing that they chose, and that's okay to feel disappointed about that, but also, there's reasons to make that whole thing feel epic. And the fact that you can just have it sitting in there for years and then finally things have loosened up and you travel to a new city and you do all the things and suddenly it happens for you, that moment is still very exciting that you finally completed this epic journey. I mean, I think that's really what they wanted to give this. So the initial, like, I mean, I'll admit it, looking at it thinking I have 3 months to walk all of these kilometers, because generally going outside is unappealing for 6 months of the year. Like, yeah, it's going to take me a long time to get there. And that is disappointing that that's a hurdle that I have to cross, but it'll feel great once I cross it.
And honestly, reducing the counter argument down to its most basic level, it's, boy, they've come up with this incredible reward that you have to work really hard. You know, you have to play the game really hard to get this incredible reward. Well, no, I just want them to give me the reward without playing the game.
Well, I think the thought process from some people is, well, I paid the $12, just give it to me.
You're paying $12 for the experience of playing the game. Play the game.
It's like the standard Pokemon. It's the problem with people associating Pokemon with money, and we'll never get away from it. It's the same argument Pokeball Plus, and it's so frustrating.
They did that to themselves. They have made that connection because things have come with that.
I don't think they did. If you put out the Pokeball Plus, which is a working controller, it was $50. Yes. The Pokeball Go Plus was $35, so you're paying $15 more for something that does what the $35 thing did. Plus, it connects to the Switch. Plus, it connects to Sword and Shield. Plus, it connects to Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. And then on top of that, they were like, well, you know what? Let's give them a free Mew. Like, that is the thought process. You are paying $50 for a piece of hardware that does what another piece of hardware does for $35, but it also does more things, and they were just being nice of giving a Mew. But the Pokemon fans are so backwards, they can't comprehend that this is a working controller, and they go, oh, it's $50 for a Mew. No, the Mew was just like the bonus thing they added on, saying thank you for buying this cool controller we made that I still use every day. Like, I think that controller is 1,000,000% worth $50. And
I love it. Yes. I've been using it for years.
It's nice that it came with a Mew, but in no situation where I was ever like, well, gosh, why do they hide a Mew behind a $50 paywall? It is such backwards thinking. Like, how can you discredit the entire product that they were like, here's a free Mew, but, like, it's so weird to me that people think this way.
I don't think it's that weird. I don't think it's that weird at all, because that's a selling point of the thing. Like, 1,000,000 people would have looked at it and said, I don't need that. I don't need another controller. I don't need this thing that does this one thing for this one game. I don't really need that in my life. Oh, it comes with a Mew? Yeah, that's enough to send me to buy that.
That's
like, that is
crazy
part
to
of
me, though.
The whole thing. Why?
Who's going to pay $50 for a Mew?
A lot of people. Like, it's a list of benefits, and that's a thing that pushes you over. It's like the same with a million phones. Like, I don't care about the camera. I don't care about the screen resolution's better. Okay, I'm getting that for that one thing.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
I mean,
I don't know. People buy hacked Pokemon off eBay.
Yeah,
so like,
You're talking about people's thought processes of the list of things that pushes them over. That's one of the things that pushes them over. A lot of people thinking, I have to collect 151 Pokemon that I've been catching since the start of this game, which is 5 years now, is not worth it. Oh, it leads me to this? Okay, now that's probably worth it, is a yet another list of benefits. And when that benefit is the thing that sells you, that's the thing that you associate with that cost. If everything else, again, I've said this before, if all the other things that you call our value adds aren't of value to you, they don't matter. The thing that adds the value is the thing that actually matters when you're making that decision.
So let's talk about how to get to 40.
Because I did it in a month.
Yes.
Crack them lucky eggs. Do lots of raids.
I don't want to ever tell people to, like, spend money on lucky eggs to get to 40. And this is what we talked about the other night. They have made it significantly easier to get to level 40 over the years. They didn't they did make some changes recently to make it easier, but the biggest thing that can get you to level 40 is the friendship stuff.
Yep.
And that has been a feature that has existed for over a year. And if you don't know how it works, because I don't know that I have to explain this to some people on Twitch, but I'll explain it to some people in the podcast. What happens is you can have 200 friends on your friends list, and you can send and receive gifts, and you get experience when you hit great friends, ultra friends, and best friends. Specifically, you gain 10,000 experience, which is the equivalent to one raid for opening gifts for 7 days with a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you receive 50,000 experience for being 30-day friends with a person. And then you, for, I think the last one is like 45 days or like 50 days or something. Altogether, it's like 90 days total. And then for best friends, you get 100,000 experience for just sending and receiving gifts. You don't even have to send them. If you have somebody on your friends list who loves sending gifts, all you gotta do is open them. Pro yep. tip, again, because people don't know this, when you open a gift or when your friend opens a gift, a little blue circle will appear around your friend, meaning there has been some sort of interaction that day. That means if you sent your friend a gift and they sent you a gift and they opened your gift, you will see a blue circle, which means you don't have to open their gift. You can save it until the next day and then you can open it. Because you both opening each other's gift the same day only counts for one interaction. You can only get one interaction a day with that friend. If you're working to build that with a person, for example, if I was working to build that with Will, Will opens my gift on Monday. I open Will's gift on Tuesday. Will opens my gift on Wednesday. So we're both not opening the same gifts every day, so we can stagger it so it's efficient as possible. That means I can save those other gifts for other people, or I can open other gifts from other people, because you can only open 30 gifts a day. You can send 100 gifts a day. Now, why I'm bringing this up, because this is the best way to get experience. If you picked 10 people, and you are going to be best friends with those 10 people, and if that is the point where you decide to pop a lucky egg, which the lucky egg does work with, so instead of 10,000 for great friends, you're getting 20,000. Instead of getting 50,000 for ultra friends, you're getting 100,000. Instead of getting 100,000 for best friends, you're getting 200,000. Some basic math here. If you do this with 10 people and you pop a lucky egg, you're going to get 2 million XP that day in literal seconds, because all it takes is opening 10 gifts or sending 10 gifts. 2 million XP will get you from level 1 in Pogo to level 30 in Pogo instantly. That is how much experience you're getting from just interacting with the friend feature. And you'll want to interact with it because it gives you Pokeballs, it gives you potions, it gives you berries. They're literally free items. If you have gotten to this point in Pogo and you're not using that feature because you don't have friends, that is like playing an MMO and literally not talking to a single person throughout your journey. Like, you don't play Final Fantasy XIV because you're looking for a great single player experience. You're not logging into WoW daily to never interact with another human being on the other end of their keyboard.
I mean, there are people that do that. They don't play very
well. There are people that do that. They're out of their minds. But if you have Twitter, if you are in a Discord, if you're in our Slack community, there are ways to find other people. And you don't even need a lot. Like I said, in my example, that was just 10 people. I know that I'm in a situation where like people want to be my friend. I host a Pokemon podcast. It's very easy for me to put my friend code out and get like 50 requests on Twitter very quickly. I get it. Very privileged in that instance. But I've also been that person where like no one knew who I am. I'm at a park in a raid, and it's very easy just to be like, hey, does anyone want to exchange friend codes with your local group? That's hard now because of the pandemic, but I would strongly suggest to people who are not level 40, who are disappointed about this Mew event, to start using the gift feature. The other thing I want to bring up is they did change it, the catching stuff, to make it easier to get to level 40. So now, if you get an excellent throw on a Pokemon, you get 1,000 experience instead of 100. So think about this. If you catch 10 Pokemon with excellent throws, that is like catching 50 Pokemon normally that didn't exist. They introduced that in December. So 50 Pokemon is a lot of Pokemon to catch in the sense of that it's kind of time consuming because you got to throw the Pokeball, you got to wait for it to shake, you got to do the click, you go through the thing. If you get 10 excellent throws, that's equivalent to catching 50 Pokemon back in the older day. They've definitely made it easier between friendship, between experience. All of December, it was like double XP or whatever.
Yeah. I will say excellent throws aren't that easy to do.
Excellent throws are not that easy.
You can get better at it. My eyesight being as bad as it is, I swear I hit it in there, and the game's like, nope. And the game will say, oh, that was an excellent throw. It breaks out. I will throw the worst throw I have hits just barely on the edge of the ring. Catches. Frustrating.
That is frustrating.
Guaranteed
there are some Pokemon that are
throws.
Really good at excellent throws. Mr. Mimes, Kangaskhan.
Wait now, frauds.
Miltanks, Tauros.
Tauros is easy to get excellent.
Makuhita, Nosepass, Snorlax, Lapras. So my advice would be figure out which Pokemon you're really good at excellent throwing. Anytime you see those, just I am an average Pokemon player. Sometimes I see 10 Pokemon in my house and I go, I'm not catching any of these because I don't want to go through the hassle of catching
these.
You're
more than average.
And then sometimes
also,
your house
is wildly full of Pokemon because you're near
something.
And sometimes there's like four Nidorans in my house and I do the thing. I tap on all of them. I go, none of these are shiny, but I don't bother on catching them. I get it. I'm there. But there are some Pokemon I know for sure I excellent throw. Those are always Pokemon I catch no matter what because I know I can hit the excellent throw and it's very easy experience. But again, I get it. It sucks that you're not level 40. I don't think it's the end of the world. I do think that shiny Mew should feel special. I do think it should feel like an accomplishment. You are still going to get it. It might take time. It's not the end of the world if it's in your collection right away.
Yeah. Also, you get a higher first catch bonus in the morning. So the first thing you catch also gives you more experience and the 7-day experience is higher. I mean, they have closed that gap, right? You get a lot more for the 7-day streak, and you get a lot more for catching your first Pokemon in the day.
It also is like that weird conversation that we dance around, which is like, you have half of the people being like, they make mythicals too easy nowadays. They're just QR codes. They're just distributions. And it's like, they finally do something cool here, whether or not you think it's cool or not, because you have to be level 40. But They do make you work for it in a way, and there is a story attached to this, right? Because every time you complete in Pogo, every time you complete a research, it walks you along a story. And so they attached a whole story and event to this, on top of attaching a whole story and event to the Saturday thing. So you're getting a lot for $12. But I get, even though I disagree with, that there are people that are thinking, I don't care about any of that. The $12 is just specifically for this Mew and nothing else associated with it.
What is the expression? It's like you can disappoint some of the people some of the time, but you can't disappoint all of the people all of the time.
I don't know that it's disappoint.
Oh, it is in this context.
It is in this context. I mean, everybody's experiences will vary based off of your expectations. That is a common life stressor the further something is away from what you expected it to be, the gap between the two is your just happiness and stress. There's not a lot to do about that. Like, learn this time, make decisions. Like, if your decision is never to play Pokemon Go again, that is your decision. And it's a valid decision. Because
probably
your
experience, the smart decision.
Yeah, I mean, your experience was negative, and they have shown their hand multiple times. This is how they run this company. This is how they run this game. This is how they do events.
I don't think this is necessarily bad in the sense of, like...
It's not.
Like, if you think about it in a content form, like, people are always desperate, and people always want new content. Like, look at people who still talk about Pokemon Quest. Oh, I wish there would be Gen 2 for Pokemon Quest. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I don't know, like, how... Like, I think of it in a sense of, like, okay, what would adding 100 Pokemon do? Like, yeah, I guess you can, like, collect them, but it's still, like, the same. Like, Pokemon Quest, I think, was, like, a very good package. Like, it didn't overstay its welcome. It was very delightful. It was very fun. I don't think adding more Pokemon for a paid monetary cost would be, like, a good enough reason to go back to it unless they dramatically change something.
It's not a good enough reason. For you.
But in a sense, for like Pokemon Go, you're paying $12.99. You're getting a 12-hour event. You're getting a shiny Ditto at the end of it when you complete it. But you're getting that entire experience. And they're giving you more content that you can just do throughout however long it's going to take you. A week, 2 weeks, 2 months, a year. Like, they're giving you content to keep you playing their game, and ideally, hopefully, I would assume you're playing their game because you like their game. So it's kind of weird to be like, ugh, I wish they would just give me the shiny Mew. Yeah, but then what are you going to do? Not play the game that you're hopefully like to play? Like, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, almost, because they're giving you content, and if shiny Mew, being probably the thing that people wanted the most outside of Pokemon Go and in Pokemon Go, right? Like, This is not a wanted thing exclusive to Pokemon Go. People who play Sword and Shield also want shiny Mew. Like, they're giving you a lot of they're giving you a reason to play the game. I don't know. I guess they could just pay it. They give it to you, and you go, okay, well, now I have nothing to do. I don't know. It's hard for me to see it as like a huge complaint. But also, I'm level 40, so I don't know how it would be. Like, but I'm level 40 because I like playing Go.
Yeah, I mean, I will be the person that does not particularly like playing Go. I check in because I do. Like, it is just a habit. It's a thing I do. There are days that trying to push to 40 in December actively made me hate that game. And I didn't play for a week after. Because that level of grind and the level of demand that something that's supposed to be fun was putting on me wasn't fun. So I get it. Like, having to basically grind your way through a level to start to the thing you want isn't fun. Grinding isn't fun. And it's also true that, like, they're not just going to give it away. They just aren't. They are going to build in things to make you play that game. And if that attitude is something you can't stand, then don't, like, how they're going to run this game isn't for you. And that is a fine breaking point. Like, whenever you see the money behind it and it's not fun, you're just seeing the money, then you're probably done with the game.
Agreed.
Because it's too much of a burden. And I mean, I agree. Pushing to 40 in December was bad for me. I did not enjoy it. I resented the game. I resented what I had to do. I resented the mechanics more than I ever have in that game when they didn't work. So I get that. I get that having to grind to a certain level to get what you want is not a fun experience. It is fun for some people. A lot of people love that. I mean, people grind in games all the time because the end reward is great. I have literally run the same dungeons and raids in Final Fantasy XIV for 5 months now. Because I enjoy the people that I play with, I enjoy working towards the rewards at the end, and I still enjoy that experience. But I have hit the wall in many games where I've realized this is just a grind, and I'm not enjoying this anymore, and I've left. That value slides for many, many people.
Do we end with, don't pay money for something you don't know the full details about.
I mean, that is just a buyer's beware in general. Like, don't pre-order something if you don't know how it's going to work. Like, unless you're absolutely rock solid in exact, like, you know, oh, it is this thing and I know exactly what they're going to do with it. Like, never pre-order if you're at all questioning it on any product and anything.
Let's make it Pokemon Go specific. Now, did they say only a limited number of people can buy this event ticket?
No. Yeah, there was
unlimited supply. Guess what? Wait until the day before it happens.
Yeah.
If you ain't tickled the day before it happens, then don't spend the money.
I guess you could maybe be like, well, I wanted the community day for January. I wanted the community day for February. But
then once again, you got two experiences for $13. You got what you paid for.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree. I don't disagree with you, Will. But also, you didn't even know what those community days were. So, like, is the thought process you were going to buy them anyways? Like, I don't know. I have purchased every single one because I like playing community days.
The only reason why I did the Machop ones because I bought this ticket. I probably would not have bought.
Oh, and guess what? I didn't do the Machop one because I was asleep through the whole thing. And you know what? Heart is still not broken.
I mean, I would have, of the ones, I would have purchased the Roselia one because I love that Pokemon to death.
Oh, heck yeah.
But
we had a great day together.
But I haven't done a lot of the special researches for those other days. Like, me buying the Kanto ticket was not, those free research days were not a part of that equation. I would have, wouldn't have purchased them depending on what the day is, and I wouldn't have purchased the January one.
But still, fundamentally, if something is unlimited supply, wait until you absolutely have to buy it.
Unlimited supply and no cutoff date. Like, you can buy it up until the day of the event.
You can buy it during the event.
Yeah. Just wait. I mean,
I hope people have fun this weekend.
I mean, I hope so, too.
I plan on having fun this weekend.
I mean, yeah, I think you can have a good time. Like, I think...
I mean, I'm not super looking forward to playing indoors.
No.
Specifically around other people, but...
We may have a miracle hot front come through.
We
possibly.
Our other option was to go to Texas and play outdoors.
Yeah.
But boy, it sounds like that would have been a just as bad decision because it's about 20 degrees out in Texas right now.
I mean, I will say this. Saturday is predicted to be 23, which is
ooh,
a heat wave.
Toasty.
That is
that's shorts weather, man.
That's a Minnesota heat wave.
It is. I mean, I wouldn't mind being outside for shorter periods of time after these 2 weeks.
I know for sure, though, regardless of money or regardless of being level 40, I know for sure I would not have fun with this event if I was sitting in my house for 12 hours.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have done it if we hadn't made plans.
We have a couple options if some don't work, but
yep,
my fingers are crossed. I like to be an opportunist.
We know that, but I think you mean you like to be an optimist.
And an opportunist. Mostly,
I mean,
an opportunist.
We know you're an opportunist. That is well proven. But your positive attitude is the thing you're trying to highlight right now.
I don't know.
I'm not even touching this.
I don't know if it is, actually.
Well.
Is that our show? Is that everything?
No, we should. I mean, I'm assuming since we've been yelling at each other for this long, we're skipping question of the week, but we still should do Pokemon of the week.
Yeah, let me just check the Slack real quick so we give people their dues. There was the Milcery event this weekend.
Yep.
It was the third.
I got two shiny milks.
Third week in a row they've done an event. I don't think there's much to say about it. It's kind of the same. I would expect there would be an event, not this upcoming, hopefully not this upcoming weekend, but I would soon expect there would be an event the end of the month for Pokemon Day. Lewis was the one that sent in from our Slack community about the addressing the Pokemon TCG. So thank you, Lewis, for that. And then I think that's it. There was some news posted in Slack, but it's not. We can save it till next week.
You can wait.
Yeah, it's not dire. Oh, we didn't talk about the umbrella stuff again. Not dire.
We need stuff to talk about on Thursday.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Save it for Thursday.
Oh, I got a rant for that.
Oh, umbrella stuff?
Umbrella. They made Pokemon Rumble.
Oh. I thought you meant like bumper shoots.
I have no idea what either one of you is talking about.
Okay. Well, give us Pokemon of the Week.
So I thought that last week's Pokemon was going to be challenging, but several people did come up with the correct answer, so I feel like my clues were justified. And as the translation, I will say, number one, I referenced Greg, because yep. Greg is Brent's husband.
Yep.
And Greg's favorite Pokemon is Roselia.
Yep.
And then I said, look at the starters, and there's only one Pokemon without requiring a hidden ability, which a lot of people, for whatever reason, didn't hear those words. Or being related to a camel, which everybody seemed to hear that one. That is the exact opposite of this Pokemon. A lot of people were like, well, if Roselia is grass poison, then water is the opposite of grass. And then I was like, but I referenced the camel Pokemon, and yep. there's only so many camel Pokemon, and then that would clearly be fire. So I must have meant that fire is the opposite of grass. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, whatever. And then I said, you may need to consult with an oracle to find the answer. And this is where my real disappointment was, because to me, if somebody says oracle, I think of one thing. And I guess kids these days don't.
You think of the software company.
No. Database company, thank you.
Oh, well, whatever.
I think...
All right. Are we going to have Steve's bad guest?
Sure.
All right. It's
Mr. Mime.
Ew, yuck. No, it's Delphox.
I mean, I guess Ice Psychic is the opposite of Roselia.
It could be an opposite.
But it's not starter, so.
Yeah.
Correct. It is Delphox, because when I think of Oracle, I think of the Oracle of Delphi from ancient Greece.
Yep.
Which is kind of where we get that term from. And the Pokemon that requires a hidden ability to be fire psychic is Darmanitan,
mm-hmm.
which is always one of my favorite ones to think of, because it was like that one weird one where you could get the hidden ability ones that were standing outside of the palace or temple or whatever in the desert. And like, those were the only ones that you could get at that point in time. Either way.
Delphox is one of my favorite Pokemon. I love Delphox so much. The shuffle icon is brilliant, and the shiny is amazing.
Why is the shiny amazing?
It's like got this cool purple dress, and the fur is great. It just looks so great. It's like a really cool, like it makes it more spooky. And I
is it a dress or a robe?
Yeah,
it's a robe.
It's a robe.
It's a robe.
Yeah.
Delphox is the only starter Pokemon to have psychic type. Delphox and its pre-evolved form share the category with Vulpix, Ninetales, Nickit, and Thievul. They are all known as the Fox Pokemon. Is your trivia.
All right. Pokemon for this week. I don't know. I'm all right. Let me go. The tradition of exchanging cards on St. Valentine's Day has its origins somewhere in medieval times, but really took off in 1913 when Hallmark Cards of Kansas City, Missouri began mass production of Valentines. Honestly, if we are ever concerned with the over-commercialization of any holiday, the dark specter of Hallmark can typically be found lurking in the shadows. Our Pokemon this week lost 3 grams on Route 13 in Unova, between Lacunosa and Undella towns and adjacent to the giant chasm. You cannot catch the Pokemon that dropped the 3 grams, even after you track down and return all 3, but it will give you TM89 as a thank you before it flies away. This is the only way in original Pokemon Black and White to obtain the TM for U-turn. Fans of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, at the very least the Rescue Team versions, may be a bit confused. In those games, it is this Pokemon's evolution that provides the mail delivery service. There you go. Not too hard. Not too hard this week.
Okay, we'll be back next week. Well, technically later this week, but it'll be for next week. We'll be back next week There will be little to no Pogo coverage because obviously we're recording beforehand. I will be streaming Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week on Twitch, and then I'll be off because I will be visiting Will and Greg.
Yay!
Safely. Hopefully, I ordered a bunch of new masks. Hopefully, they arrive before.
Ooh, get one for me.
I have a lot of masks. I'm going to get that double up action going.
Well, no, I mean, I'm going to wash my current mask. I just wanted some new ones. It's like when I like to travel, I like to get a new hoodie.
This is not good.
You have so many hoodies. You have too many hoodies.
Yeah, but once you wash a hoodie, it like loses something.
Wait, like you wash it one time?
It loses dirt. and your funk, your stinky
what,
funk.
What? That's what my wife likes. What does... wait, how often are you washing hoodies? Like not
every
once a
2 weeks
like
or
not
so.
Not once a use.
It depends on what I used it for. If I used it at the gym, heck yeah, I wash it once a use.
Yeah, but if you're just like wearing a lounge hoodie over like your shirts.
Okay, that's not something that I do.
Oh, weird. We'll be back next week with another episode. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Pokemon Pod or at PK, well, technically we own at Pokemon Podcast at PKMNcast on Twitter. Same for TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, r/supereffective for the subreddit. Greg is at White Wing on Twitter. Will is at Wash in the Sink. I am at Dragging a Lake. Thank you for listening. If you want to help out the show and you listen on Apple Podcasts, if you would like to leave us a review, even if it's not a written review, if you just tap the 5 stars under your podcast app, that would be greatly appreciated. But thank you so much for listening. We will see you all next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are...
super effective.
Super Scalpers, you are on notice.
This podcast is supported by our Patreon backers. If you would like to support on Patreon, you can head over to ise.cash to support us. A shout out to our producers of this episode, starting with Kevin, Sean, Casey, Potato, Patrick, Jetsy, Matthew, Steven, Bovine, Kay, Catherine, Steph, Brady, Brian, and Courtney. And a shout out to our executive producers of Spencer and Anthony. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making it to the end. And have a great rest of your week.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.